Here's what Connecticut is saying about Lisa Wexler.
You got chutzpah. You tell it the way it is.
Back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. Good morning on a Monday morning. Joining us now, U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal, representing our great state of Connecticut. Good morning, Senator. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Lisa, for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. By the way, Senator Blumenthal, where are you this morning?
I am on my way from New Britain, where I just attended the Pride flag-raising ceremony, down to New Haven, where I'm going to be at the groundbreaking for Downtown Crossing Project Phase 3 in New Haven, the bridge and thoroughfare between Temple and Congress streets there, which is so important to downtown development. And then I'm on my way to D.C. for votes later today, and very important votes on the Endless Frontier Act this week, which will advance science and technology for Connecticut. I'm hopeful that we'll pass it, and it will mean millions of dollars for Connecticut education and technological innovation, very important to our state and nation. And then later in the week, I hope we get started on infrastructure as well.
You, your calendar must be really something, Senator Blumenthal. You're everywhere. You're everywhere. In fact, I saw, well, I don't know if you would. You're just amazing about that. Okay, we got a bunch of people that are lined up to ask you questions, but I've got one from a prior caller who had to go back to work and really wanted to have you answer. She is, her name is Tricia from Shelton, and she wanted to thank you for your support on a bill that will federally allow retired teachers to get their spouse's Social Security benefits, which apparently is not available in Connecticut as one of 17 states. And she wanted to thank you because she wrote your office and she knows you supported the bill, but she'd like to know where the bill is. Is it likely to pass?
I'm hopeful it will pass during this session. I am a strong supporter of it because our teachers deserve those benefits of Social Security. In Connecticut, they don't get them, but they should nationally and in Connecticut. It could be attached to another bill that will move through the Senate. But, you know, I'll be very blunt. We're in a state of high uncertainty at the moment because the president is seeking bipartisan support for an infrastructure program. That's the next probably item on the agenda that hopefully.
I think we're losing you a little bit, Senator Blumenthal. Come back in because we lost you for just a sentence or so.
I can hear you.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yes, I am. Could you just repeat a little bit of what you just said? Yeah.
Oh, sure. Sorry about that. I thought cell coverage was pretty good on I-91 coming down to New Haven. But in any event, I'm hoping that the bipartisan negotiations succeed on infrastructure. The president's pushing them. If they don't, we'll need to go through what is called the reconciliation process. I mentioned it because we need to use a process, if necessary, with 51 votes, not 60. And that fact applies to the proposal on Social Security and teachers as well. We should attach this proposal to a budget item that can go through by a majority vote, so it doesn't require 60 votes, because I feel the support is there for it.
Let me ask you something. Number one, I heard that the parliamentarian said that the Democrats were out of votes for reconciliation. So that was that. And now you had to go to 60. Is that your understanding as well?
The parliamentarian's comments are really unclear. We should be entitled to more than one vote. We've done that one vote on the American Rescue Plan. Not a single Republican voted for it. It's providing aid for restaurants through the Restaurant Revitalization Plan, for entertainment venues, Save Our Stages, for vaccines and vaccine distribution, literally probably between $3 and $4 billion for the state of Connecticut overall. And now we're trying to move on to a similar, very strongly supported program, strongly supported by the people, but not necessarily by Republican colleagues. And the parliamentarian has been unclear on whether we can have 3 or 4 votes. I think we should have at least another couple of votes using budget reconciliation, because they are about spending and taxing, and that fits the definition of what budget reconciliation should cover and enable us to move forward with a majority, 51 votes, rather than be logjammed by the filibuster and the 60-vote threshold. It's very anti-democratic. I hope we'll abolish the filibuster, and I'm urging my Democratic colleagues to come together to support abolishing it.
Senator Blumenthal, isn't there a compromise that can be made on the filibuster? Maybe I'm crazy, but why can't every politician that I've interviewed has said that the filibuster is no longer the Mr. Smith goes to Washington filibuster. And most of them, I think yourself included, have said that if it was the Mr. Smith goes to Washington filibuster, that they'd be willing to leave it there because that was a Senate rule that allowed people rarely to get up and really speak their mind if they thought it was that important. But that's not what it is today. Isn't there any kind of compromise that could be made to change the rule back to what it used to be?
Here's the problem, Lisa, and I'll be very blunt. The filibuster itself is problematic, but what is the biggest problem is Republicans' overuse and abuse of the filibuster. They've done it hundreds of times in recent years. It used to be the exception. Now they're making it standard operating procedure. And my fear is, even if we have what is called the talking filibuster, where someone has to actually be speaking and hold the floor, that they will once again abuse it. And I think it has to be combined with a requirement that 40 votes or a majority present and voting be there to sustain a filibuster. In other words, not just talking, but also the filibustering side of the issue has to have a certain number of people on the floor. Otherwise, they can just tag team it
and keep it going.
Have one of them be talking for 10 minutes and then pass on to the next and just, you know, assign allotted hours and no sweat. You know, we'll be there. We'll keep it going. We'll block everything else. Remember, when they're filibustering, nothing else gets done. So some of the critical programs and issues will be completely stopped if the filibuster remains. So I'm leery of a compromise, but the talking filibuster is a potential fallback position if we can't abolish it.
We're chatting with Senator Richard Blumenthal. Senator Blumenthal, we have a couple of people on hold. Let's go to Maureen from Norwalk. Hi, Maureen. Welcome to the show. Good morning. You're on the air with Senator Blumenthal.
Hi, good morning. Considering how the Congress continues to push bills through 800 pages or 1,000 pages, we'll know what it is when we get there. It sounds like maybe you should leave the filibuster. However, I'm concerned with the woman, whether she was a doctor, in Yale, New Haven, making these vile, despicable comments about shooting white people in the head. Her license should be removed, but I've got to go back to a comment that you had made negating people on Lisa's show, in which you were talking about a robust content modification, a censorship kind of statement that you had made about American citizens. And the other side question I have is about Fauci, and when the heck are you going to shut this man up? And his views on China and how he has aided and abetted the Chinese government and this lab in Wuhan.
Thank you, Maureen. Senator Blumenthal, comments? Just to give you a little bit of context, Senator Blumenthal, because I don't expect that you will have listened. I don't know if you were aware that the New York Post published an audio, a true, authentic audio. It hasn't been denied, of this visiting psychiatrist at Yale. It just came to the surface now, but she visited in April. And she was a psychiatrist speaking at the Yale Child Guidance Study Center, giving voice to her fantasies about shooting white people with the overall context of a statement in which she said that white people could never understand how people of color felt about institutionalized racism. And she had fantasies of just shooting them and thought she would be doing the world a, quote, effing favor. And I just was very appalled at those statements and asked whether or why Yale allows them to go uncriticized. So that's what Maureen was referring to.
Well, I'd like to see the statement, but it sounds totally reprehensible. You know, any sort of threatened violence. I'm a former prosecutor. I am the author and lead sponsor of a measure that was just signed called the No Hate Act that works against hate crimes, which are assaults or other violence based on race or religion, including anti-Semitism and racial attacks. I would find it abhorrent, any such statements. I don't think it deserves really much more comment if that's what she said. Let me just turn to Maureen on censorship. I have never advocated censorship. I have never advocated the government stopping content, no matter how offensive I may find it. The government has no business imposing censorship, and the First Amendment forbids it. I do think that Facebook and Google and other tech platforms have an independent responsibility when public figures or private people incite violence or, let's say, threaten to shoot people in the head. They have terms of service and standards. They should be held accountable for them. And victims of that violence, if they are linked to the comments on those tech platforms, the platforms themselves should be held accountable. And that's a change to Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act that I have advocated along with Republicans, such as Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri. He's in favor of Section 230 reform. A number of Democrats and Republicans. It's a bipartisan issue. I'm not in favor of government censorship.
Senator Blumenthal, do you think that Facebook did the right thing in banning Donald Trump for it'll be another 19 months or so through January of 2023, I guess? Do you think that they did the right thing?
Donald Trump well earned that two-year ban as a minimum. And, of course, Facebook has to make that kind of decision because it is responsible for preventing incitement of violence. Remember what the president did. The horrors have receded somewhat from our memory, but those police officers that were injured, a number of them killed, the staff that had to clean up the graffiti or hide in their offices, the senators who were forced from the floor, as I was, all of us, Republican and Democrat, and then threatened. We could hear the noises 60 feet away. We could see out the window the mob with Confederate flags and Trump flags. They were incited by Donald Trump. And so my feeling is that Mark Zuckerberg should think twice about giving Donald Trump back his megaphone and this two-year timeout should be regarded as a floor, not a ceiling.
We're chatting with Senator Richard Blumenthal. We've got a couple more people for you. Let's go to John from Milford. John from Milford. Hello, John. Welcome to the show. You're on the air with U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal.
Thank you, Lisa. And thank you, Senator Blumenthal. Hey, I just wanted to follow up on a Social Security question. Is that okay?
Any questions? I'm game.
Okay, great. Thank you. So my spouse passed away in March. She had cancer, and she was able to collect for about 4 months Social Security disability payments. when she passed away, and she had paid into the system for almost 40 years. When she passed away, I was not able to collect her benefit. Now, I work and I make money, but she worked for 40 years, collected for 5 months, and I was always under the assumption that I would be able to collect her Social Security benefits, and I'm wondering why I was not able to.
John, were you married more than 10 years?
I was married for over 35 years.
I'm very, very sorry for your loss. I really am. Let's hear what the senator has to say.
I'm sorry for your loss, too, John. And thank you for the question. What I would suggest, rather than spending a lot of time in my asking you questions about the individual circumstance, John, if you want to give my office a call or email me, the best email is richard@blumenthal.senate.gov. And, John, I will alert my office that you'll be calling. If you could ask for Joe Rodriguez, we will try to take action to help you. But I will just tell you, I have a bill that would enact major reforms in Social Security. It would increase the benefits. It would take care of some of these anomalies where a spouse dies. And it would make Social Security solvent for the future. You know,
which I think
very
is
worried.
Which I think is great, because I do have children, so I'm concerned about that. I guess my question is, and I can make that contact call and stuff. That's not a problem. My question is, you know, what do you do if it's the system? What do you do when somebody that pays in for 40 years and in 5 months passes away after collecting only 5 months of Social Security, and they did their fair share and they worked and they paid taxes? And you know, it's not that I want the money, but I think it's more entitled to it based on her work performance. I mean, if she works for the state and she passes away based on what you choose for a payout upon somebody's passing away, whether it's me or my spouse or whomever, I get their retirement benefit. Why don't I get the state benefit from Social, or why don't I get the state Social Security benefit as well?
That's a good question if you think about it that
way. I couldn't agree
more,
John.
It's a good question.
What do we do about a system that is unfair and imposes those inequities? We change the system. That's what I'm trying to do through the bill that I have proposed. By the way, the leading sponsor in the House of Representatives is John Larson, also of Connecticut. So we are trying to push this measure as best we can.
Yeah, you know, that is interesting, Senator Blumenthal. Thank you, John. That's very, because, you know, he makes a very good point, because I'm so used to the way the system is, which is you only get the higher of the two, right? So if your spouse passes away and you've been working and they've been working, the government says, okay, if you're married more than 10 years, you get the higher of the two, but you don't get the two, even though one person has paid in for all those years.
It's true. We'll try to help you, John. We
Thank
go
you,
to
John.
Work and advocate for Social Security recipients. Sometimes they're denied disability or benefits that they've earned and deserve. And sometimes we can really help them. Not always, but we'll do what we can.
Thank you for the call, John.
I
One more call.
It.
Thank you, John. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Cecil from Bridgeport. Cecil, you're on the air with U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal.
Good morning, Lisa. Good morning, Senator. How are you doing today?
Okay, Cecil. Thanks for calling.
Senator, the reason why I called you was because when you were Attorney General in the state of Connecticut, your office had filed a complaint on my behalf of the whistleblower, and the Assistant Attorney General was Mitchell, and he had filed a report that I gave Lisa a copy of, and I would like her to possibly maybe later on, when she gets time, to maybe read it over the air. It was pertaining to my complaint I filed 15 years ago. The auditors had made a report, and they sent their report a year after, and they sent it to different other departments, but they said they would end up with the Attorney General's office on the final analysis. But I never heard anything. Is there any way possible I can get you to get back with me as to someone to find out what happened to that complaint that I filed? And I would like to give you the number,
well,
case number.
Well, I'd be happy to talk to you, Cecil, but, you know, I haven't been Attorney General for more than 10 years.
Oh, no, but you got so much power and so much influence. You have so much power and so much influence. I would like to just give you the case number that your assistant made out for me on the case. It was C-O- 9.
He's
1-2.
I think he's driving right now. I'm not sure he can write it down.
See, so if I can make a suggestion, if you could get in touch with me,
yes,
or send Lisa your contact information. But have you contacted William Tong? He's the attorney general now.
Yeah, William Tong sent me to the Freedom of Information saying that I had filed a complaint with them, and that was what he thought I had filed. I'm specifically concerned about the case that your assistant attorney general made on my behalf, and that was file C091268. And no one seems to know where the status of that complaint ended up at. And the auditors did their report in 2000, and I think it was 7, 10, and here it is 15 years later, 11 years later, and I'm still not getting a response in terms of the final analysis of my complaint.
Well, I apologize.
I was terminated 15 years ago.
You haven't received the response. You were terminated?
Yeah, I was terminated because I complained about contaminated dirt piles at the city health department, and I've been out of work for 15 years because of this. Me, I've been being treated by Dr. and Trumbull, and it's like my concern is that this has caused so much harm to me and my family that there's no way in the world that I can let this go. And I'm pleading with you, Senator Blumenthal. You seem to be the only one that cares about people, the little people, as well as the big people as well. I'm pleading with you to please have someone get back with me pertaining to this complaint that your assistant attorney general at the time when you was in charge, to give me some kind of breakdown as to where my complaint is at. Because it's just caused me a lot of grief, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. My wife passed away a year ago. Okay, basically dealing with this matter for 15 years, and I promised her that I would not let this go because of what it did to me and my family. And I'm asking you, Senator Blumenthal, please let someone tell me where is the status of this complaint that I filed and your assistant, Mitchell, filed on my behalf.
So we'll do whatever we can for you. If you want to give Lisa your contact information off the air.
She has the letter from your assistant attorney general that I'm asking her to read if she could, as well as the report from the auditors in terms of what they found.
Cecil, listen to me. Do you have access to a computer?
Yes.
Okay. Send me a direct email at lisa@lisawexler.com with your name and your telephone number, and I'll have your email. And I will give that to Senator Blumenthal.
Thank you, Lisa. God bless you. And I appreciate that very much. And Senator Blumenthal, keep up the good work. We need someone like you. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Blumenthal. Take care.
Thank you so much for spending time with us today. I think we've only scratched the surface. But it's good. I'm glad the callers had a chance to talk with you, and we appreciate it. And good luck today and all the different ribbon cuttings and good things going on. And come back on the show soon, okay?
I will. Thanks so much, Lisa.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you. Senator Richard Blumenthal on the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.